everybody. Praise the Lord. That's a good word. Amen. Amen. So we're going to keep moving right forward along with it. Turn to Matthew 28. We're going to keep moving right where he is. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. All right. So Matthew chapter 28 is the story of Jesus' resurrection and Jesus now taking the next step of talking to his disciples and giving them what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission is what Tracy was just talking about. Go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. Let's read what it says real quick here. Matthew 28, let's go to the other one. 28, I have 28 and 16 in there. Let's go up to 16. I want to call your attention to there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. I'm going to stay right there. What happens is Jesus is taken off the cross, put into the tomb. On the third day, he raises again. When they come to the tomb to look for Jesus, Jesus is nowhere to be found. Amen? He's gone. He's out of there. An angel shows up and says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you here at the tomb looking for Jesus? Because Jesus already told you he's about to rise. So what happens now is that the angel says, tell the disciples to go to Galilee. There they're going to see him. Now, in Matthew 26, I'm going to read this real quick to you. Don't turn there. Just keep your fingers right where you are. Matthew 26, verse 32 says this. Verse 31, when Jesus is betrayed, then Jesus says to his disciples, now Judas has betrayed Jesus, and now here it is that they recognize that something's going wrong, and Jesus says this to his disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. So Jesus said, listen, you guys are all tight with me. Everybody loves Jesus right now. We're all sitting at the table having this last supper together. We're all in love. One of you guys is going to betray me. Judas is going to betray me. I already know he's going to betray me. It's not a surprise to me when he betrays me. I already know. And not only do I know that he's going to betray me, before you start criticizing him, something's going to happen to me and all you guys are going to scatter. Because everybody's bold when all things are good. When we're all together and everything's good, we're all cool. Everybody's together. We bold, we talk mess. Yeah, we're going about to turn the world upside down. Everybody's ready to take names, do everything, right? But something happens to the leader, to Jesus. And what happens? They scatter. And he said, listen, when you scatter, know this. When I'm raised, they don't even realize he's going to die yet. When I'm raised, go to Galilee and meet me there. Got to move ahead. Got to move ahead. Something's going to go wrong. Something's not going to happen the way you expect. What you believe is going to happen is not going to be the way it's going down. You see me as a king and you believe you're going to be my right and my left hand men. We're ready to take the kingdom. But when your king dies and you get scattered, what are you going to do? See, in Matthew 28, now that Jesus has risen from the dead, the 11 disciples get the message that he rose and he said, remind them that they need to go to Galilee. Actually, go to 28 verse 7. Look at 28 verse 7. Actually, go to verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen and has said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going where? He's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. the go to don't go down to let's keep reading. Verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. They ran to bring the disciples the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't be afraid." "Go and tell the brethren," my brethren, "to go to where? Go to Galilee, and there they will," what? "They will see me." Verse 16. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Verse 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. We're talking about go. The series we're talking about is go. Go into all the world, preach the good news to every creature. Here's the problem about going. Here's the real significant problem about going. And Tracy already said it. The most significant thing about going is that when you realize that he's risen, when you know that Jesus has risen, you receive that reality, you see that truth into your heart. When you know he's risen, he's not coming back to the tomb. See, some of us are still hanging around the tomb waiting for evidence that he's risen. You're not going to find the evidence that he's risen at the tomb. You're not going to find it there. Now, what's the tomb? The tomb is all the old stuff in our life that we're still looking back at. The tomb is all the old stuff that happened a long time ago that we're still waiting to see how the old stuff is not getting resolved. God's given us new life. And what does he say? He said, "Listen, I'm going to show myself to you, but I'm not going to show you myself to you in the place of death. I'm going to show you, you got to go back to Galilee. You got to go." Where's Galilee? Galilee from Jesus is crucified in Jerusalem. Right outside of Jerusalem. Galilee is 25 miles away. 25 miles away from there. He says, "I'm not showing up back there. I'm not coming back to the dead place. I've risen. I'm not dead. Why would a dead man still be hanging around the grave? I'm not going to be there. You're not going to find me there. You're going to find me in the place of new life." So where are you going? Go to Galilee. I'm going to meet you there. I'm going ahead of you there. You get there, I will already be there. So the 11 packed it up and they went the journey to Galilee. And when they got there, then they saw him. Look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Sometimes you have to be persuaded that even if the person next to you don't believe, that you believe. See, we're not talking about 135 people that are following Jesus. We're talking about the 11 that spent 3.5 years with Jesus. We're talking about the 11 who walked with him, ate with him, saw him work miracles, saw him take fish and loaves and feed thousands of people. They saw him go to Lazarus's tomb and call him out and see him resurrected. They walked with him and saw him raise the widow's child. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him do stuff. 3.5 years, they saw all they needed to see. But then when it came down to, is he alive or not alive? Some of them, even after taking the step of faith of going to Galilee, still hadn't made up their mind they were going to believe. See, here's the thing. When you say yes to God, all things are possible. When you say yes to God, all things are possible. But they're possible to him that believes. See, belief is that step of commitment to say, "I'm in." And see, sometimes you can't. So why did he tell him to go 25 miles? Meaning, he could have just met him on the other side of Jerusalem, couldn't he? No, he said, I need you to go to Galilee. I need you to go. I need you to leave this place and go. Why? Because going was a step of faith. To leave that place was a step of faith. They were required to take a step of faith before he was going to show himself. Now, look at this. Look at verse 16 again. To the mountain, the 11 went away to Galilee, to the mountain. Turn to your neighbor and say, the mountain. The mountain which Jesus has appointed for them. Tell your neighbor and say, you have a mountain appointed for you. You have a mountain appointed for you. Whether you realize it or not, see, they didn't know when he was meeting with them in Galilee and telling them, go someplace. When he was taking them up in the mountains in Galilee, they didn't know that sometime later they were going to have to return to that place in victory. They just thought it was another place. They just thought it was another location. But he had already appointed that place to be a place of victory. What is a mountain? A mountain is a place that stands out from everything else. A mountain is a milestone. When you're walking somewhere and you get lost, if you're driving on the highway, say you're on Highway 505 and you're driving down the highway and you, man, I don't know if I'm going north or south. I don't know where I'm going right now. Nothing here looks familiar. But then you're driving down the highway and you look out and you see a familiar mountain. What does it do? It calms you down. Okay, that's Mount Diablo. I just got to keep driving straight. That means I'm going south. I know where I am now. And that mountain in the middle of nowhere tells you where you are. It becomes an indicator that you're moving in the right direction. So he said, I got a mountain appointed for you. I have a place that is your place where you're going to see it. Now, what else is a mountain? A mountain is an obstacle. You're trying to get one place or another, and this mountain is here. How do I get past this mountain? The mountain is an obstacle. But if you go up to the top of the mountain and you get there, you look down and say, man, I conquered that mountain. I didn't think I was going to get all the way up this mountain, but I got to the top of the mountain. He said, go to the mountain which I have appointed for you. There is an obstacle in your life that God has not commanded you to go around. God hasn't allowed you to ignore. There's a mountain in your life right now. God said, I'm taking you to the top of this mountain. It's been appointed for you. It's got your name on it. And when you get to the top of it, you're going to be a city set on a hill. You're going to be a light. You won't have to tell nobody who you are. You will show up and people will see that you are commanded on the top of this mountain. Some of it is little things. Some of it's big things. But whatever it is the thing that God has appointed for your life. That when you get to the top, then he will give you a calling. Y'all missed that, man. That was deep stuff right there. Somebody looking for a calling standing in a valley. There ain't no calling in the valley. There's only callings at the mountaintop. There's only callings at the top. Why? Because you don't minister to people out of your bankruptcy. You minister to people out of the life of God, the victory that he's given you. And until you realize that the first victory you got was saying yes to Jesus. When you said yes to Jesus, it was your first mountaintop experience. It was the first time you said, man, I know God myself. I can minister on that. I can tell folks about that. You don't minister out of weakness. You minister out of the strength of God. Now, you might have to personally humble yourself, but humility is not weakness. Humility is an acknowledgement that you've run into something greater than you. He appointed a mountain for the 11. Turn real quick to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. I'll tell you about something about these mountains here. I'm not going to go much further with this. We'll continue this later. But I want to show, I want you to understand the mountains. I want you to understand that when you're told to go into all the world, you got to go to the place to get the instructions. Sometimes you got to go someplace to get the instructions to know what you need to do. That's the obedience of jumping in the water. When you put your toe in, you don't know, you can't relate to what's going on. When I joined the Marine Corps, this is what I saw. Tracy can testify. You have to qualify to swim. So it don't make no difference how bad you are. You could have been fighting pugil sticks and knocking people out. You could have been wrestling hand-to-hand combat. You could have done all that stuff great. But there's a second phase of boot camp. It's broken into three phases. When you get to the second phase, they put you on a bus and they drive you to a swimming pool. And when they and you don't get to take your stuff off. You got to jump in with your stuff on. And there's some secrets about your stuff that you don't realize till you get in the water. When you get in the water, then you find out there's some secrets about your stuff that will help you if you get in. But here's the problem. We had all these big bad dudes. Bad dudes. Bad, big, strong, bad dudes. And they jump in the water and scream for their mama. Drop like a rock to the bottom, scream. They've been beating folks up, doing stuff all the whole time. Get in that water and, mama! Because when you jump in, it's different. See, there's some of us who can stand on the side of Christianity and do things we do naturally and look like we're in the water. But you can't really get your instructions till you get in all the way. So, there's some of us who by nature, we do certain things already. There's some people who, by nature, ain't never going to smoke a cigarette. They ain't never going to touch one. And if you judge their Christianity based on that fact, then you would assume they're a Christian. They're on the outside. They may have their toe in. But you don't judge men by that. You judge men by their fruit. And there's certain fruit that you can only bear when you're in all the way. There's certain things you can only bear when you're in all the way. When it comes to dealing with, the brother said, hey, I've learned that in the moment when I'm dealing with somebody, I have to pray in the moment. That's all in. Because now you're talking about, I'm not trying to govern my own thoughts. I'm not trying to tell you what's on my mind. I'm seeking the Lord, even in my crisis, in my problem, in my situation that not big enough to say, help me, Jesus, but it's big enough to say, Lord, help me with this bro right here. Help me with this person right here, right now. Let me help me. I'm not I need to pray for a miracle. I need to help me in the moment right now. See, that's change. That's transformation. That's being in the moment with God. That's being on the mountain with God. That's being all in. This mountain was appointed for them. Look at this. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. I want you to see this. I'm talking about being on the mountain. Mountain that's appointed. Now, the devil knows that God has a mountain for you. And I'm going to show you how I know this. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. This is the temptation of Jesus. Jesus is sent by the Spirit into the wilderness to face the devil. And this is what happens. Then the devil. Turn to your neighbor and say, then the devil. Taking him up on a high, what? The devil took Jesus up on the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and then the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. It's very important that you see what is said here. And I'm going to get ready to nail this down in just a second. The devil said to him, all authority I will give to you and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me with all, before me, all will be yours. This is what Bill Winston told told us. He said, whatever you bow down to on your way up the mountain will own you when you get to the top. Got to meditate on that. Go back to Matthew 28. Now, Satan said, all authority has been given to him. And he can give it to whoever he wants to. All Jesus had to do was bow down and worship him. Look at this. 28. Verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Right, we're going to close with this. There's a mountain appointed to you. There's a place of victory that's appointed to you. From that place of victory, when you go to that mountain, when you go to that place, when you get there, Jesus will give you a command. He will give you a command. What's that command? Go. Go into all the world. Tell about this victory. Tell about how you got to this mountain. Go and tell them what I've taught you. Teach them what I'm teaching you about getting to this mountain, about getting to this place of victory. Teach other people. Don't teach people theology. Don't teach people a whole bunch of rhetoric. Don't teach people, don't argue with people. Teach them what I taught you. And why? Because all authority is given to me. Now in Luke chapter 4, Satan tells Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll save you all the trouble it's going to take to get this mountain yourself. See, it was already appointed. It was already appointed for his disciples to have victory. But Satan comes and says, yeah, I know God's telling you you can get the victory and all, but I have an easier way for you to get it. I have a way that you can get it that doesn't require all that suffering that all these church people keep talking about. I have a way for you to get it that doesn't require you to pick one woman or another or pick one man or another. I have a way for you to be happy without that. I have a way for you to get victory and have a joyful life. I can give you all these things. I can promise you these. I can give you the world. I can hand it all over to you because it's mine to give if you worship me. And Jesus' answer was, you should worship the Lord God only. Him only will we serve. Him only will we serve. See, when Tracy was just talking about the argument, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm standing on the word. I'm not going to argue with you because I'm standing on the word. What is the not standing on the word represent? It represents all my opinions, all my thoughts about how to make things work. Trust me, I've tried a whole lot of things, and most things I try don't work. They work for a season, but God's word is eternal. God's word works. God's word brings me victory in every single area of my life that I apply the word, that I go all in with the word. Every time I go all in with the word, I have victory every single time. It is without question. It is without thought. It's without opinion. It's without anything. The fact of the matter is, if I go all in with God, I win every time. It's when I'm halfway or if when I'm doing my own thing, that's when it doesn't work. That's why he couldn't talk to them at the tomb. He had to tell them, go to Galilee, go to the mountain which I've appointed to you, go to the place of victory I've already given you. You all have, tell your neighbor, say, you have a ministry that's born on the mountain. What is that? It's those things you've been through. It's those things that God gave you victory over. That's your ministry right there. If you say, go into all the world, where am I supposed to go? Go anywhere people will listen to what you got to say. Go anywhere people will listen to the testimony that you have, because on the mountain is where you know the testimony of God is real. On the mountains where you know he's met you there. He's gone ahead of you. He's already there. He's ready to testify of you. Praise God. I'm praise God for Belia. You know why? Because last week she gave a powerful testimony. Last week she gave a powerful testimony. What was the testimony? This happened to me. That happened to me. And when it happened, God told me what I need to do. So what did she do? She went right to the mountain. No hesitation. She just went there and did it. Now, what comes of that? The ministry. But what happens once you get there? Satan's going to try to tell you, I'm the one taking you to the mountain. I'll cheat you out of this if I can cheat you out of it. I can get you to do something else. I can get you to do it the wrong way. I can cheat you out of this because I know God wants to bless you. So tell your neighbor, say, you are so blessed. And God is already, tell them, God has already appointed victory for you. Come on, let's stand on your feet. Let's pray.